Welcome, everybody. This is the Crit Files.
Such a fun episode.
It was. This was really good. We're following up to the End at the End podcast that you might have listened to, where we freshly escaped from the Underdark, returned to the city of Stone.
Port of Stone.
And discovered that not all was well. We discovered that there is a prophecy to stay indoors, and that the seer who watches the town is has been attacked. She's using all of her power to keep the city safe, and that Alistair, our old friend and foe from Quilton Bay, is on the way.
Which is huge. Like, yeah. That's,
it does feel...
It's like God. A big baddie coming to us.
He's like we don't have the one I imagine being the baddie.
Mm-hmm. The BBEG.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. We called that when we did the Quiet Year.
Yeah. We created this baddie.
Yeah. I've had his right-hand man and, you know, somebody else working for him that you guys have met. We haven't really dealt with Alistair yet.
Mm-mm. So we're going to stop him before...
Yeah. The Herald of the Storm, the Avatar of Melora. We got his titles he's going by.
It makes sense because, he has been using Melora to...
Most likely self-proclaimed titles.
Right. Not actually an Avatar. Yeah.
We should totally Deadpool him when he comes and be like, "Hey, Herald."
We heard you finally got that promotion.
I had some fun times with Ace this time.
This is a really roleplay heavy episode. I think I rolled the dice like
twice. Oh my
twice
gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I rolled the dice and I got some really cool little fighting guys.
Yeah, you've been playing with them nonstop.
The Jujitsus.
They are really cool.
This is probably the least amount of pulls from the bag in a long time. Mm-hmm.
Compared to last week's or our last session where everybody was rolling ones and twenties like every other roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
insane.
Good.
So I need a point of clarification because I thought when we were on our way to Gondor?
The Grandor.
Grandor.
Like Nandor, but grander.
Yeah. Sorry, I've got all these got other fantasy wrong names
here's,
floating
here's
around
the
in
best,
my brain.
Here's the here's
Gondor
the best part is me, like, me thinking on of that. Like I was putting that, and it's like, I'm gonna give her a cool title and it's gonna be called Grandor, because it's grand and
right,
like OR. And then I had the thought of like, well, that's, you know, it's not an actual title, it's just me making it up. They might not care or get it right, and it's like, yeah, of course it's a name or word. I'm, you know,
right,
it can be whatever you want it to be.
Okay, well,
I like Grandor.
on our way to visit with this being,
mm-hmm, the Medusa,
the
you
Medusa
can also call her,
yeah,
because that was the thing, I didn't want to call her just the Medusa.
Yeah,
and yeah,
but that's why I keep calling her like
I thought
seer.
We encountered a tall building with this growth, mm-hmm, on the side. I did not think
that
it was
the inn.
It was the inn.
He said, "You see the inn 3, 4, 5 stories up. You see that it's covered in this substance that has holes in it."
Because I thought the inn was to the north, and we were not going there.
And
but
the
going...
buzzing and the buzzing was over the inn.
Yeah, the buzzing. The buzzing.
That was the
everywhere
noise that Simon had in the
and
beginning.
That was the noise,
And you instantly, the way he described it, the substance on it with the holes and all that, you're seeing paper. You're seeing like the
like
wasps.
A paper wasp.
Like a paper wasp. Yeah. Absolutely.
And at least
I get the
me
description. I just didn't realize that was the
they
inn
were the same
at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks like they've taken over that inn.
So, and that explains like the mind control bullshit and all that. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. How did we like Nala?
God, she was the worst.
Oh my God, dude. She just like triggered my ADHD.
Dude,
that
was easily the most obnoxious NPC encountered in any role playing game.
In part because we all know somebody like that. Like,
legitimately made real life Rhett forget what he was doing.
Dude,
I was like,
there was some visceral reactions during that.
I was looking at you guys. I was like, no, seriously, what the fuck were we just talking about? And everyone's like, going back to Nella. I'm like, no, somebody needs to say the thing because there's a clear path.
Oh boy.
And I forgot, like, literally, we were talking about the Medusa, and it was just gone.
I am glad that we went that way.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, I'm glad that we ended up visiting.
Yeah, I'm glad I asked. I thought that was...
That was your mom, right? That kind of clued us.
Yes, because I was like, maybe I should ask my mom, considering, you know, she spent probably more time than us here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She worked on the clay, you know, did that whole thing.
And I think it's an interesting thing to have Valen kind of now... you know, he was so like, ugh, my mom. And now he's like seeking her counsel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, what would you do?
Yeah.
And it's, I like to think of it as like a character choice and like a change in that, like, okay,
it did
maybe
feel like that.
I'll stop being so such a stubborn little asshole.
Well, and we were
and I'll
all
be like, I'll ask my mom because she is wise and I know this and we all know yeah, this yeah. and she is really smart. So, yeah.
We were all having these moments about, like, you know, at least for me, like with Ben, it was, I think Simon brought this out, where it was like these decisions that led to our characters being separated early on before the adventure started, before the campaign started.
Mm-hmm.
And the types of choices you would make. And so talking about, like, when you asked your mom that, I was like, oh, yeah, because your separation from us and from Quilton began with kind of disobeying your mom. Not disobeying, but like,
yeah,
but doing something that
yeah,
she
yeah, being a little bit defiant for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I thought that was really cool.
What you may have or have not thought about this, what clay thing did she construct?
I think what I came up with was it was just trying to make a bust of Valen as a
right you know, kind of in her sorrow
in her like mind's eye
right.
version
yeah.
Yeah,
interesting. So okay,
yeah, with all of that, I was really excited that Val actually agreed with Ace. Like, it was one of those moments where it was like, oh shit,
this is like the first episode where you and I's characters were on the same level the whole time.
Yeah, we were aligned
pretty much the entire time. We basically were like, yeah, this is what we should do. I think this is what we should do.
So did you go more Ace or did he go more Val?
I think we just met each other.
I think we just met each other. I think we were just more like, you know, more like, oh, I think this is just what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And we both were like, because we're, you know, we're also both two, you know, fighters, warriors, and so we know, you know, penultimately what needs to be done. And so I think we were just like, look, and I think we can, as players, we can feel it. We're kind of creeping towards the, you know, kind of an end point.
There's a climax.
There's a climax coming. So I think there's
hopefully
definitely
not the only one.
Yes.
This is just the first one.
I do think it was, it's interesting because I don't think it was necessarily like, it's not like everything flows naturally from these like character decisions we make a long time ago, but it's fun to think about them in retrospect, where Simon is the one who wants to go after his friends, but we're the ones that want to stay put. And we're the ones that left Quilton.
Yeah, he's the one that stayed.
Yeah, you know, and so I think that was an interesting thing, and Ben definitely felt
that. Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow.
I have to think about that.
Good for us. What a cool transit. You know, that's awesome.
Well, it's fun because I think what happens is we're all thinking about our characters, and we're all thinking about the things that informs them, and we're not necessarily. It's not like we're thinking about each other in the moment. We're thinking about, what would we do?
Yeah, our personal motivation.
And how we you know, change and our, yeah, what we want.
And
yeah,
I think what flows from that is these really interesting and organic interactions that, like, that play into these themes that we've been building on and mm-hmm. that play into these storylines that we've been crafting. And it's not necessarily, like, unintentional, but it's not, like,
I think, yeah, we did, you know, the quiet year was very much work into that.
Yeah.
And then the kind of smaller sessions right at the beginning, like kids and teenagers, you know, build that world together so that that character, you're thinking of their personal goals. You've already sunken, you know, those goals into each other.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, every time we play, we're always building off what we've done.
Yeah. It's those past experiences.
And yeah, it really organically, we come to these moments where
it's like, no, we need to defend.
Of course,
the fucking
that's what
city.
Happened.
I mean, and that's the truth. You know, it's like, for me, it's like, you know, everything kind of unfolds like a movie sometimes in my mind's eye. And it's like, one of the quintessential scenes in Ben's movie is that moment where we're all looking out over the ocean and like we see the first boat or whatever.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
It's like at the
that
end of
so
Apocalypto,
cool. Yeah.
You know, when they're after this whole thing in the movie.
Oh, and they see the Christians
see the,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
Ben and Ace
it's
in
that,
there
yeah.
and we got a fire and like.
Exactly. And it's like this big moment of, and so that's like one of the anchor points I always go back to is Ben, you know. And
we don't know that it's a big moment. In the moment, we're just like, right. Oh, that's kind of weird,
right? But but if it was a movie, we would flat out cut to the future, and it would, and that would be something that
bomb.
We fill in.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
Here's the teenage of these characters. Like,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not wanted to leave, but he does anyway.
Exactly.
And the other one follows him.
Starting with A Quiet Year was probably the best thing that we've ever decided to do.
It was really cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the coolest things I've done.
And I feel like any long-term campaign ought to start that way.
Yeah. Or at least spending a good chunk of time to develop what you're all doing. What you're all doing.
A really solid session zero.
Yes. And it's fun. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's fun every time we're thrown down with Alistair to remember that, like, that's shit that we all came up with.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Alistair's our creation.
You know, and it's like, I remember sitting at the table and we're talking about, like, a shipwreck comes up with a mysterious stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Alistair, you know? It's like,
here's this guy.
So does that mean that we can, like, all hold hands and through the power of friendship make him go away?
Perhaps.
If this is Adventure
Time. We conjured
him
into existence. Yeah. Now we can conjure him out.
This is straight up like Stranger Things level, like.
Meta.
Yeah.
You guys meet him in game and you pull off your masks and you're all you guys.
Yeah.
And you're like, we made you. We can unmake you.
Exactly.
We're not going to play this game ever again.
I'm Dashiell Thompson.
And there's a whole.
I'm Caleb Wood.
And your time is up, bitch.
Caleb smokes a cigarette.
We're like, wait a minute. Caleb doesn't smoke.
I picked something up.
I love this change.
I do like the smoking. That was so good. I do like the smoking.
Just becoming this cool
kids,
guy.
Don't do this at home.
It's,
no.
It's
okay, smoking
it's,
is cool.
You
I
know
mean,
what? It's really giving Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. That's the only it thing is. I picture.
Yes, that's what I was picturing.
Oh, the immediate image, him just walking down the street.
With the dark hair. And it's like,
did you guys ever see Into the Spider-Verse when he's like, the first Spider-Man's talking and he's like, I had this. I have this.
I did
this for some
reason.
And he's dancing. He's like, we don't talk about that.
So good.
I fucking love that movie.
That's a good one.
No, what I wanted to say earlier was that, like, you know, the way how we're kind of, you know, all these beautiful moments we keep having and these fun little twists and turns and stuff is I was thinking about how, like, we just as role players and players just have a good rapport.
Yeah.
Because we've played together so well. And I was thinking about it. It's like an improv when you. Play with the same people for a long time, you start to get each other's tics, instincts, demeanors, mannerisms. You start to just get it now. And I feel like that's kind of where we've come to. And that's why this story, like, we have these wonderful beats that just kind of have happened without us trying to force anything because we're so used to playing with each other and we're also just very good at staying with our character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun to see. It's just really cool. And
I feel like it's this in particular, the last few sessions have been a lot like the shows that I like to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's been really fulfilling, and I feel like it's what D&D is all about.
I gotta say, I'm really proud of what we make together. Like the stuff that we do.
For sure.
I think my goal whenever I'm, you know, writing up stories or doing anything is like, I want to be proud of what we're doing. And every time we come and do sessions, you guys hit it out of the park.
So we're winning your game.
I think you're winning the game. I think we make
fun
thing.
It's like one of my main hobbies outside of this is like, I love writing stories and stuff. And one of the things that always happens when I leave these sessions is like, a million and a half extra little stories swirl in my brain.
Yay.
That like based off of the stuff that we did, you know, like little, like one-off conversations or little interactions or cool epic things that we did or talked about. I'm like, oh, that could be fleshed out and be so fucking cool. Like, and that used to, like, you know, that's happened before, but not like on the same level where it's like every session I'm leaving with something that I think is worth exploring even more, you know. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense of like we didn't explore it, but in the sense it's like, oh,
there's more to explore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to hit shit, and all your moms are going to love me. Okay?
His character is literally a motherfucker.
He's going to make you forgive your mom and your dad and yourself.
Yeah, I can't imagine that my mom wouldn't be that either, but I don't know.
Because we have to find your mom.
Who knows what will happen with this?
So this is so far back in our game and stuff. I don't remember Ace's mom's situation.
He's still pretty cool with her. Like, he went and visited her when we first went back. And
I remember that.
Yeah, he had, like, mm-hmm. that moment where he, like, released his rage, and it was flowers.
That's right.
I remember that.
She is, like, the dress cue. Like, she is, yes. she is the one that connects my family to that, like, evil family.
Right. Yeah.
Dress cue is her maiden name.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She is...
She was married off.
She's definitely an obtuse character because we haven't really flushed her out a ton. I feel like Ace probably still like cares for her and stuff. Okay. He's just mostly written off his father because his father was the one that sent him off.
If you were confronted by her, would you still identify as your family, or would you not?
I don't know. I'm not sure because he has written off his family and has decided that he's going to be his own.
I feel like Ace isn't confronting that part.
But he's also, like, he's very family-oriented, where he wants to have parents and people that care about him and that he can care about.
And that's why your reaction to your dad was so strong. Yeah. I feel like your rage on him was so strong because of...
Yeah. I don't honestly know. It would have to be one of those things in the moment that I imagine... Like, he's going to forgive his mom.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly how he's going to take about it. He may just see all of his friends' family as his real family.
Yeah.
And
his past life
is his past. And he might have moved on beyond that. I don't know.
I like
honestly,
it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see. Maybe we won't.
I do want to ask a very kind of like meta game type question to Alex. Do you have a final showdown planned? Do you know what you're going to do, or do you adjust as we go?
It's always adjusting as we go. I've got an idea of what I think would be a cool kind of like
finale.
Going towards the finale.
Yeah.
And I just try and I shoot towards that, but then you guys are always there and you expand that, and then I kind of just...
What did you think we would do? Did you think we would leave when offered a path out, or that we would stay?
Your mic is off.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
You're back.
You figured that we would what?
I figured that you would stay, but I
too many
thought
heroes.
perhaps, you know, you might not. And I think both choices there are interesting.
Yeah, they were.
And like we would find, you know, some good story there. But yeah, no, it's always, everything's always adjusted a little bit, but I've, you know, it's... big arcs of like, this is kind of what I'm thinking is happening. And the other thing is just me like with a group of like little pawn pieces, like moving them all around and having things happen. Like things happen because of what you guys are doing that will never be explained in game. But like, at least it makes sense for me so that other things will make sense.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
so there's like
the reason Grav was never in the Undersea
is because
he was doing this shit. Mm. And so he was supposed to be down
unattended.
There, but he changed his plans because of, you know, what happened. And so like that stuff's always happening in the background in my head. I have an idea what we're going to do. We'll see if that's
it's really
up to you guys as much as it is up to me.
I really can't wait to find out what Ace's dad has been doing in the background.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's been in my mind since I sent him on like that quest. Mm-hmm. Is like, you go fuck with Alistair.
Yeah.
And like ever since then I've just been like, man, what is he doing?
He's just been working on
his
cult.
He's the herald
skills.
Of the storm.
Oh. I have to say, we should probably wrap up, but before we do, I want to say I really appreciate how y'all that kind of dual choice that we had where it was, do we find our friends or do we do this thing? Letting Simon have his thing, but also having a solid pitch and kind of way to bring Simon on board. That is like a hard stop for him. Is like, that's not gonna happen again.
Well, I mean, I know I wanted my character to relay that it wasn't like we were just like, no, we're just gonna do this, fuck it.
Yeah,
like,
and
we wanted to at least acknowledge like, I get this is hard and we are voting and we all voted to do this thing.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that like, it doesn't please me.
Right.
I'm not like happy about this. Like,
and I
this
think
is
that made it more
tough.
Palatable for Simon. Like, okay.
As much as it was I a can hard hate choice it too, Simon, but it's a it was duty. A hard choice for everyone. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's interesting
well.
is like Ben has his kind of shtick and his relationship with Val, and his shtick and his sort of relationship with Ace built on different things. Like Val and Ben obviously have a lot of very similar life experiences, mm-hmm. but like you, I've always felt that like Ben and Simon, we have like a similar moral compass in a right. lot of ways, and so you know it's like
when but personality wise they're like
Ben was
yeah,
the one
opposites.
I was worried about. It was like, okay, is this going to split it? What's gonna
well
happen?
and Caleb missed it when he was in the bathroom, but Ben gave a speech about how like it was the first time he's feeling the different pole of like his past life as Ben and his current life as this
I can't
guy.
Wait to listen.
You know, it wasn't that profound, but it was just this idea of like, yeah, I'm feeling the pole like both ways, but like, you know, that guy's gone and so this guy's gonna stay here.
Oh God, and yeah, you did follow Ace like into the seas, and like it would make sense if you would
follow him to the dark,
finding your friends,
right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I decided to think about just the idea. I really leaned into the idea of like, well, Melora has put us every step of the way, and if Alistair's going to come here, then. You know, then that's what Melora intended, and that's what we're gonna do.
It's like, is that magic?
So I just leaned into the Qui-Gon Jinn bullshit.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
But yeah, is there anything else that anybody else wants to add or?
I mean,
I'm
there's. I mean, I could talk
there's so much
for
to
sure. forever about or... stuff, but we should probably wrap it up.
You want to keep going?
This was a juicy one for sure.
This was a juicy one.
It was a good
one.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I was very excited to drop the towns in chaos on you guys for so long.
Yeah.
I had a feeling this was coming.
Like, we're going to go talk to Brooch and we're going to talk to everyone. It'll be fine.
I didn't see
no,
like,
no, you're not.
No, you're not. We'll go to the absolutely next place. Not.
As soon as we like crested the hill and you were like, yeah, you noticed that the town, I went, this motherfucker.
Oh,
I knew
no,
it.
Come on.
I immediately, as soon as you said that, I knew immediately what was happening.
We're going to go get a long rest.
I was so stuck on this idea. Of him,
yeah,
he had
yeah.
said the sun is going down or whatever, and I was like, everybody's asleep. What the fuck is the big deal?
No, the city would be bustling at this time.
Oh man, yeah.
And the Grandor's prophecy to stay inside, because those come from Grandor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that there was a story. Piece that was like, I'm trying to keep them safe,
yeah.
but this outside force is still pulling them to the inn and like to this destructive thing. But you know.
If they're not outside to get like taken by these bugs, then they won't be in danger. So.
That's
I do want to say one thing. The moment I had with my mom where I she was like. I could tell that she was finally like, oh, okay.
Letting
the
go
things
of that.
I was worried about
that
was
are
so
gone
good.
Now.
Oh, like, that was beautiful.
Yeah, that was really heart-wrenching.
That
made me like well
that,
up where
that
I was
you
like,
made
oh,
there was a couple parts.
Yeah. Damn it, don't cry.
There was a couple parts.
It's
game, Dash.
Dash, it's just a game.
There was
but
a couple
it's really sweet and nice. It's story. It's beautiful. It's redemption. It's... You know, it's all the stuff that you really love in like a good story. And so, yeah, at that moment, it was very subtle, which I loved.
Oh.
But it was like
impactful.
This huge thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I loved that.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what that means for Val.
Cheers to y'all, mate.
Yeah, I mean, he's already, we've already seen that he's changed in like an immense way. So,
I mean, that's a beautiful thing. There's been a couple times that have been tearjerkers in this season, but... This one had more than our average.
Some parts
I feel
have
like.
Just been jerkers.
Yeah,
that's
parts
very
have just
true.
Been jerkers.
Yeah,
you heard it here, folks.
Any
thanks
part,
for listening to
part with Val's mom is a jerker.
No.
And
no.
Moment ruined.
We love Val's mom, but not in that weird way.
Not in the jerker way.
All right, guys. I wish I could have cut this short. Maybe I will in post. this has been the Crypt Files. This is your once weekly, well, whatever, follow up to the hit.
That's just its tagline.
So far, all wrong.
It's not the fucking once weekly because we do like two or three episodes every session. So this is like your once per session follow up.
And anyway, you can support the podcast going to dndpodcast.org. Follow, you know, read our blog, do some stuff. You can support the podcast financially by going to patreon.com/endofthend or by going to bit.ly/humble and buy yourself something fancy on
we
Humble Bundle.
We did just have to re-up some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I have to say, for those of you that don't know, our Patreon is only a dollar, and anything that we ever put out, you get it for that dollar. So things from way back in our chaotic amateur days to things now we've got streams on Twitch that when they fall off the Twitch
radar
platform, you'll find them via Patreon. So it's only $1.
Yeah,
check it out
for the one that I foolishly
because
see back when I used to use Twitch back in the day it was
okay,
28
Grandpa, that's
days
enough. That's
28
enough.
I mean, days
maybe we'll just redo that whole session and
I'd be down for that.
I'd be down because I had a lot of fun as Big Mike.
Next stream March 7th.
I did think that it was kind of funny.
Wait, this
looking
probably comes
back
out
on
after
it.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, this does. But you can catch our streams every first Thursday of the
month. Back in time, ladies and gentlemen. Go back in time.
Well, subscribe to our Patreon so you can see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just check us out on Twitch on Thursday. Twitch.